myself in times of trouble. Mother Mary comes to me.
Probably not the voice you were expecting, right? I mean, it's obviously not Paul McCartney singing Let It Be, but it's the man who's sometimes referred to as the Fifth Beatle, Billy Preston. And if you don't know his name, you almost certainly know his work. Billy Preston played piano and keyboards alongside everyone, from Little Richard and Sam Cooke to the Beatles and the Rolling Stones, as well as Sly Stone and the Red Hot Chili Peppers. He's also the only artist to get a co-credit on a Beatles album. It happened with Get Back and Don't Let Me Down. Billy Preston first met John, Paul, George, and Ringo in 1962, and he returned to work with the Beatles during their now legendary Get Back sessions, which produced the album that would eventually be released as Let It Be. Thanks to a new Peter Jackson-directed documentary miniseries that's out this week, The Beatles Get Back, audiences around the world will have a chance to see just how important Billy Preston was to those sessions and the band. Joyce Moore was Billy Preston's manager in the early 2000s until his death in 2006. She was also his friend for more than 35 years. Joyce, welcome to Day 6.
Good morning, Peter. How are you?
Oh, I'm so glad we're having this conversation because on the one hand, I'm really excited about the Beatles documentary, but I really want to be able to tell and learn more about Billy Preston's story. This amazing and long career he had long before he even met the Fab Four. Tell us about Billy Preston's kind of those early years and how he got his start.
Billy was a child prodigy. By the time he was 3 years old, he was playing with both hands. Billy, by the time he was 9 years old, was in choir at Victory Baptist Church, where Mom was playing organ, and Billy was actually directing the choir some. And the casting director for St. Louis Blues, the movie, which was about W.C. Handy, happened to come to see because he was looking for choir members in that. And Victory was the church at the time in L.A., the black church in L.A. So here's this little punk child in his choir robe just showing out, you know, not being braggadocious or anything, but just being Billy. It was in him. When the casting director and the director of the movie saw Billy doing what he was doing with leading the choir and playing and doing all this stuff, they went, that's it. And he was cast immediately to play W.C. Handy as a child. From there, he developed a relationship, a strong, long-lasting relationship with the gospel great Mahalia Jackson. He wound up a year later playing a duet on Nat King Cole's television show. So he genuinely was a child prodigy.
Tell us the story about how Billy Preston first met the Beatles in 1962, and Little Richard was involved in all of this, right?
Little Richard had decided that he was going to take Billy with him. Billy was 16 at the time, 15 or 16 at the time, over to Hamburg, Germany as his keyboard player and the only other musician to go play the Star Club in Hamburg, Germany. The opening act for Richard at the Star Club in Hamburg, Germany happened to be four guys from Liverpool named the Beatles, and they were not famous yet. And so they were there and they were the opening act. The problem was that as the opening act, they weren't getting fed. And when Billy found out and Billy realized he could order as much food as he wanted out of the kitchen, he would order four or five steaks every night and a bunch of baked potatoes and vegetables, desserts, you name it. And he was giving the food to the guys. So you know what they say, the best way to a man's heart is through his stomach. Well, he won them all over. That was it. And of course, his keyboard playing, they really wanted him to be able to jam with them, and Richard wouldn't allow it. But they became friends. They were basically within a couple of years of each other, same ages, you know, John, Paul, George, and Ringo. Billy was 16. They were like 18, maybe 18, 19. So they had that bonding, and that was it. And they became friends. So that was 62. What happened was Billy went back over to London in 69 with Ray Charles, and they were playing Royal Festival Hall. And George went to see the show. And of course, being George Harrison, he didn't have a problem getting backstage. Obviously, he recognized Billy, saw Billy, and this was great. Their friend, you know, they were buddies, blah, blah, blah. So George invited Billy to come over to the studio where they were recording. And by this time, they had left Twickenham, and they were in the basement at Apple. and they were working on rehearsing, not really recording. They were rehearsing the Let It Be project because their game plan, and this is not new news. I'm not breaking any non-disclosure agreement to say that the idea was they were going to learn and play and record 14 songs live. And the 14 songs that they were going to make that were new songs was going to be this album.
And he just dropped in. Like, he just went to go visit George.
God works in funny ways, and timing is everything. And as it happens, timing was that they needed a keyboard player, and they were, like, trying to figure out who they could get. Of course, not even thinking about Billy, but they were trying to figure out, well, who should they get to come in? There was no, da-da-da-da-da-da, Billy Preston's here, and he's gonna, it was, have a seat. just because it happened to be in front of a keyboard, you know.
The Let It Be sessions that were so tense. What kind of effect did Billy have on the room as they're going through this?
Actually, they were a bunch of silly sots. I mean, really and truly, one of the things that I will say that really comes through from the 6 hours of the documentary and the 100-minute edit and that's far different than the original Let It Be movie, is these guys really, number one, they truly were creative geniuses. There's no one can see this documentary and not come away realizing that these were genuinely gifted talent, okay? And they were silly with it, and they could be ridiculous about it. And that comes through this time, and there's a warmth and a fun, but there was also some seriousness. George left. He went somewhere and he didn't come back for about a week, 10 days. And they met with him and they managed to convince him to come back. And it was after he came back that he went to Royal Festival Hall to see Ray and see Billy and invited Billy over. But it really wasn't because he was looking to have Billy come play keyboard. It had nothing to do with music. It was about, hey, come see the guys. They'll be so happy to see you. This is so cool. Blah, blah, blah. That was it.
And yet the band did kind of see him as is it fair to say, something of a calming presence, a kind of neutral party within these machinations?
No, I don't think they saw him that at all. I think it just evolved. It happened. There was no, oh, great, Billy's here. Now we're going to have to behave. No, it wasn't. It was Billy's here. Holy crap. Let's really. And they really got into it. I think the difference was that there were a bunch of parts sitting around. And then all of a sudden, Billy comes in the room and he sprinkled the glue and the glitter. And it all just felt good. It was just four became five.
And people still call him the fifth Beatle. He was part of the band. He was credited on the album.
Let me say this. There's arguments that Brian Epstein was the fifth Beatle. Right. There's arguments that Sir George Martin was the fifth Beatle. However, four became five and five was William Everett Preston, period.
We now sort of know the Beatles years. What was the rest of his career and his later years like?
Billy was the first solo artist ever to play a concert at Radio City Music Hall in New York. He and Janis Ian and George Carlin were the first three guests in October of 1975 on the premier debut show of Saturday Night Live. He toured with Clapton. He recorded with Dylan, Barbara Streisand, Neil Diamond, the Chili Peppers, on and on and on and on. Did a great TV special with Michael McDonald in Nashville in 2004. I mean, he was just one of a kind. And he truly was a genius.
What was it like when you got to sit down and watch the doc and see him and his smile and his performance and the way he just kind of interacts with everybody? What was it like for you?
It's really almost impossible to put into words the feelings and the emotions and the joy, but also the heartache. But I will say this, I am so, so proud and so blown away by what I witnessed.
I want to say thank you for sharing all this with us and introducing so many of our listeners to this amazing man and the musical legacy that he left behind. So thank you, Joyce.
It's my pleasure.
Joyce Moore was Billy Preston's manager in the early 2000s and a longtime friend. Peter Jackson's documentary miniseries, The Beatles Get Back, premiered on Disney Plus on Thursday. The final episode is out today.